from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 206, recorded live Tuesday, March 16th, 2010. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks with developer Charlie Kindle from the Windows Phone team.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we're here this week in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino at Mix 2010, and I'm sitting down with Charlie Kindle, who is responsible for the developer experience for Windows Phone 7, which we heard about, the Windows Phone 7 series we learned about here at Mix first. I finally got a chance to sit down with you. You've been running around talking to all sorts of people today. Thanks so much for chatting with me here at Mix.
Hi, Scott. It's great to be here.
All right, so if I want to develop for these phones, where do I start? What do I install?
Okay, so the very first thing you do, go to developer.windowsphone.com. Mm-hmm. And on that site, there's a link to the download page. And there's a single download that includes a special version of Visual Studio 2010, the Windows Phone emulator, documentation and samples, and a single download. That will install on your machine. If you already have Visual Studio 2010 RC installed, like the ultimate version or professional version, this will add on as an add-on to that and just allow you to, you know, add Windows Phone projects into Visual Studio.
Okay.
If you don't have Visual Studio 2010, it installs this Express version that's specific for Windows Phone. Mm. For this release that we've just released at Mix, which is a CTP, there's also a version of Expression Blend for Windows Phone that is available in the same way. It's a special version just for building Windows Phone apps. And at this point in time, it's actually not part of that single download.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a separate download. So right now there's two downloads, which we will fix in the next turn of the crank for this.
Mm-hmm.
But the point here is that all of these tools will be made available for free when they're finally released. Obviously, they're free right now because they're a CTP, but part of what we announced this week is the tools are actually free, and that includes this version of Expression Blend, which previously wasn't available in any sort of a free version.
Mm-hmm. So the two most interesting things that I heard right there were, one, that if I already have Visual Studio, this is going to detect that and add on to it.
That's right.
It'll become a comfortable file new, and then it'll just say Windows Phone.
That's right.
And then if I don't, it'll automatically install everything that I need.
That's correct.
Now, you said virtual machine. So, I mean, is this like virtual PC? This is virtual Windows Phone?
What I said is that we include the Windows Phone emulator, which actually runs a version of Windows Phone compiled for x86 in an emulated environment. It's using x86 virtualization on your developer workstation, and that allows you to test your apps in an F5 debug cycle within Visual Studio or Expression Blend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and with full performance, with multi-touch input if you're using a Windows 7 PC that has multi-touch, and using 3D GPU acceleration. So we pump all the Direct3D directly through in the emulator to the host PC. So you get great performance, and it works really, really well.
So this is really a virtual phone. I mean, I have orientation. I can flip it on its side and see what my app will behave like. And if it works there in the virtual, it's a real Windows Phone OS. It's not virtual anything, I suppose.
That's right.
This real Windows Phone, it's going to work the same on the device.
Yeah, and so the emulator supports a bunch of really cool features along those lines. One, it does support rotation, so you can just click on a button on the emulator, and the screen rotates, and the right things happen.
Mm-hmm.
It also supports zooming. So Windows Phones, the design for the screen is an 800-pixel tall screen. It's 800 by 480.
Wow, that's really high res.
It really is. Well, the problem is on some laptops, when you're doing development, you don't have 800 vertical pixels or close to that.
Yeah.
And so the nice thing we've done in the emulator is we've made it so it actually scales. And so we actually use the video scaler. So there's a little dialog box that allows you to set different percentages of scaling, which is just a really nice
thing. Well, I saw that. And it's not just like 1X, 2X, 3X. You know, it's like, oh, 62%.
That actually, I think what you're referring to is the design surface within Visual Studio.
Oh, okay.
That does have a kind of an infinite slider for scaling as well, which is, again, it's the same thing. Developers want to be able to have really flexible workspaces, and what we've done with the design surface for Windows Phone apps within Visual Studio is make it so that it can scale its size as well.
And it really looks like when you're in the design surface, it looks like a phone itself. It almost seems like when you hit F5 that the design surface jumps out and then the phone has kind of like left the Visual Studio environment and now it's jumped out. Like you have the same kind of, the Windows Phone Chrome that's kind of around the outside.
Yeah. And, you know, the fun thing about this conversation is I'm sitting here on the, talking to you, thinking about someone riding in their car, listening to this podcast and trying to visualize what we're talking about. And the kind of the cool message that I have today is you can go download this right now as soon as you get out of your car and get into your, and it's a maybe a 10 minute install. Download all the way because it's not a very large package. We've tried to optimize to make sure it's a small package. And within a couple minutes, you can be up and running, literally hit F5 and see this for yourself.
I saw Scott Gu do this on stage when he basically started dragging controls over. And the first thing that I noticed, and actually the first thing I was worried about was I said, are we going to enable people to make like ugly applications with purple backgrounds and green buttons? Like, you know, it was possible in other, let's just say other design surfaces, but he drug over a button and it looked like a Windows Phone button.
That's right.
I mean, do all the controls behave in that way?
Yeah, what we've done with, you know, it starts with the fact that the Windows Phone developer platform is, you know, it's a combination of both XNA, Game Studio, for building XNA style games, and Silverlight. And because of that, we're able to make use of all of the Silverlight theming capabilities and the controls in Silverlight. And within the design surface in Visual Studio, we've enabled that theming support. So when you do file new project and you get that first Windows Phone application, and there's a couple different templates that are available, it immediately looks like a Windows Phone application, has the right fonts, has the right look and feel, and any control that you drop onto it automatically inherits those themes and just looks like a Windows Phone control.
Now, what about controls that I'm used to behaving in one way? Like, for example, the calendar keeps coming to mind. I drag a calendar on a Windows Phone Classic, and I'm going to get kind of a drop down in a calendar, and it feels more like a web page with a calendar pop up. What is a control like that going to behave like in a world of stacks and panning?
Yeah. Well, so there's hundreds of controls available in the ecosystem for Silverlight, whether they're from third parties or they're part of the Silverlight SDK, the control samples that are there. Right now, what we've included with this version of Visual Studio is a set of, you know, kind of the standard controls that we've optimized to work in this environment. Some of them, like button, just work.
Sure.
Some of the more advanced controls, they really need some tweaks to really work well within the Windows Phone design system. And so the calendar example you gave is actually one that isn't quite there yet in the CTP. Although it'll be very quick. Someone's going to go and build one and post it to CodePlex and make it work.
So is that the intent, though, that a control that I'm used to using, I'm familiar with their properties, I'm familiar with their events when I use it in Silverlight somewhere else, is going to behave in a similar way when I bring it onto Windows Phone? It's going to have those features?
It is. It is, absolutely.
And this is all Silverlight. That is the way. I mean, every app is Silverlight. Any app that I add on is Silverlight. This is not I'm not going to be writing anything in C++. It's a managed code environment.
Yeah, and so the application platform is a managed code only application platform. We have no provision for people to write native code. Your apps run within a managed sandbox that we control as part of the application model on the phone. There's two styles of applications you can build, two flavors, if you will.
Okay.
One is a flavor that it would be an XNA flavored application or game. And generally, these are going to be for games that are generally 3D, highly interactive, core gamer style games using the XNA framework. The other flavor of application is a Silverlight application. And that's where whatever you're trying to write, you're going to use a markup-based programming model. You want to have that theming support that matches the rest of the phone. We think people will build some games using that as well.
Sure.
Because there's lots of Silverlight games out there today. But really, you have that choice when you start a project. You're either going to use XNA Game Studio, style programming or you can use Silverlight style. But what we've done with Windows Phone is we've taken all the common libraries that you'd use for Windows and we've made sure they're actually common to both of them. Oh. So for example, it used to be that if you wanted to do XNA programming and you want to do microphone input, you used an XNA API for that. And there was no microphone input API for Silverlight 3. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is that XNA API is now available to both styles of applications. That's just one example of the that common programming model.
Hmm. So does that mean that as a Windows Phone developer, if I somehow find a reason to switch between one flavor to another, I'm going to find familiar APIs. I'm going to find familiar developer metaphors.
Absolutely. A great example of this is Windows Communication Foundation, which you were talking about before the podcast. It is available to both flavors, and mm-hmm. it is just Windows Communication Foundation, the same version that's available in Silverlight. It's available whether you're building a 3D game, which is mm-hmm. kind of cool, or you're building, the next, Twitter client mm-hmm. or whatever.
Now, I've noticed a lot of people asking, but what about this? What about that? And I want support for this. And I want support for that. You said that it's a managed code environment, but it's not necessarily closed. Am I to understand that, like, if I wanted, I can't think of anything. Let's say that there's some wacky protocol that comes out tomorrow, and I really need that. And there's some open source application now that works on Windows, works in Silverlight. Can I bring that code into the Windows Phone and compile it? Is this like Silverlight Lite or watered down Silverlight?
No, this is Silverlight. This is the full meal. So an example of this is there are a couple really cool physics libraries written in C# for Silverlight available in CodePlex. Mm-hmm. So you can go to CodePlex, they're open source.
These run on PCs today.
They run on PCs today, mm-hmm. Within Silverlight today. And literally you can go get those projects, download them, fold them into your Windows Phone projects, and, module maybe some bugs we have in the CTP, mm-hmm. They will just work. And we have a bunch of examples of that where we've gone and done that to make sure that things are solid.
That's really cool.
It is.
So if I've got an existing application on that, that provides some data, if it has a WCF service or some RSS mm-hmm. or really anything at all that's going to come over the wire, you've got that support on the phone now. And I suppose you can tell whether the phone has a signal or not, or whether it's got Wi-Fi or not, or disconnected scenarios.
Right. So there's the kind of the high level UI frameworks that you'd expect, the Silverlight provides. And then we've added some specific phone APIs, APIs around phone specific things like you mentioned, mm-hmm. What network you're on, things like being able to have great access to location information, which is critical for phones.
So these all have GPSs?
They all have GPSs, and it's a service backed location system that uses assisted GPS, Wi-Fi triangulation, as well as what's the third one? I'm drawing a blank right now. There's three sources of GPS information, and they all get folded up for you as a developer by us mm-hmm. Using a back-end service. And you get really fast response. You don't have to wait for the GPS to find a signal,
right.
And you get accurate responses as well.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman from another parallel universe. Got to tell you about some of our things our sponsors are doing. They make this free podcast possible. If you're developing a new line of business application, you've probably tried the latest version of Silverlight. Now you can get even better results by combining the functionality in Silverlight 4 beta with some of the richness of the third-party controls from our friends at Telerik. They're the first vendors to offer native support for the Silverlight 4 beta and their RAD controls. They've got a new Silverlight 4 CTP suite of these controls. They let you tap into the framework's great potential. You get native right mouse click and all the new features of Silverlight. There's 38 controls that give you all these features. You can start building those compelling line of business applications right away. I encourage you to check those products out at Telerik.com/Silverlight. And, thank Telerik for supporting .NET Rocks, supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Telerik. Now back to the show. Things like assisted GPS are really interesting because basically, based on what cell tower that I'm near, or possibly what known Wi-Fi spots are near, I can save a great deal of time in figuring out what hemisphere I'm in, what city I'm in. I can get someone down to a city block, which then helps them get a GPS lock even faster.
Right. We're kind of jumping randomly on different things, but to drill on that point a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The idea that, and one of the things that's supported in this API is I can actually call into the API and it'll give me a real address back.
Really?
Yes.
So you'll do location to place name, I guess
that's
you would
correct.
Call that. Exactly. That's pretty cool, because that's a huge hassle. Right. I've done location work before. You can get lat lawn, you can get region, but right. you know, getting it down to a street address, you know, plus or minus a few feet is pretty hard.
Right. That's the power of being able to make an application platform that has implicit services built in as part of it. Mm-hmm. When I gave my talk yesterday, here at Mix, one of the things that I highlighted is the way that we think about applications for Windows Phone, mm-hmm. Is they're service enabled. They really are powered by services. And then I gave a taxonomy we like to use for how to think about services. And there's three types. As a developer, there's three types of services. There are my services, the mm-hmm. services that I build as a developer and I expose. Mm-hmm. So I go and I, you know, use Azure or S3 or my, you know, a web server sitting under my desk, whatever it is,
right.
to build and publish my service. The second type of service is a service that some third party provides, mm-hmm. like the Twitter API.
Sure.
Would be a great example of that. And then the third type of service is a service that is implicitly plumbed through the platform and exposed as a high-level API. Mm-hmm. And with Windows Phone, we have four examples of those in this release. The first is the one we just talked about, location.
Right.
The second one is a push notifications system that allows you to, from your web services, push notifications to the applications on the phone, even if the application isn't running.
Okay.
And so there's push notifications. The third one is the Xbox Live gamer services that are available on the phone. So Xbox Live games on the phone have access to your avatar, your gamer tag, all of your Xbox Live profile, including leaderboards and achievements.
Very cool.
It is very cool. And then the fourth service that we provide implicitly is the whole application deployment system for how your apps go from the developer workstation, they get released, and through the marketplace onto the phone, mm-hmm. And then updated over time. And so that taxonomy works pretty good. Developers say, okay, I need to build a service that's part of my app. I'm going to use Azure and WCF and all those great tools that allow me to do that. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, there's a third-party tool that I'm going to use. I've got WCF on the client or on the server, and I can integrate that in. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, I just call these APIs on the platform, like I create a new instance of the notification object, and it takes care of the underpinnings automatically.
You know, thinking about the way that games and applications spread virally now on the web, and how, you know, three folks in a garage decide to put out an application, and then suddenly it becomes, you know, and then everyone's virtually farming. And it becomes suddenly interesting. And then they struggle with scale. Do you see situations where someone's going to create a game or an application and they'll put the service in Azure and it'll become popular? And by virtue of the fact that it's in Azure, that's going to allow them to scale, you know, quicker.
I think that's one of the core value propositions of being able to have a worldwide scalable, cloud service infrastructure like Azure. Mm-hmm. That it allows developers to not have to think about, I now need to go buy, you know, 15 more servers and yeah. find someone to manage them.
I guess I'd never really put that together. I guess it's obvious once you say it, but the idea, I mean, I didn't really plug Azure and the phone together, but they do seem to be kind of, you know, good friends.
Here's another challenge for people listening to this.
Okay.
Go download the tools. Mm-hmm. So, and this only works if you already have a full version of Visual Studio 2010 RC.
Okay.
Because the phone version doesn't include the ability to do things like Azure projects directly
okay.
in it.
All right.
So let's assume you have Visual Studio 2010 standard.
Right. And feel free to walk us through in detail what we were going to
yeah.
do, what we would do.
So install Visual Studio 2010, the full version, the RC that's available on the web today.
Right.
Go into it and also install the Azure tools, which is a separate thing you have to install. Mm-hmm. Just do file, new project, cloud service. Mm-hmm. And the first time you run it, it'll tell you that you have to go download something, and it does it for you automatically. It's kind of cool the way they did it. Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's kind of hokey, but.
This is how you sign up for an account and get
no,
all
No, it's just how you get the tools installed in Visual Studio.
Oh, I see. Okay. This is just for installation.
Exactly. So once you're done with that, then download the Windows Phone developer tools.
Okay.
Install that installer. It's about 10 minutes of download and install time. Mm-hmm. And then go into Visual Studio, the full version,
right.
do file new project, and you'll see a list of the types of projects you can create. And one of them is a cloud service.
Okay.
And so select cloud service. And when you do that, name it with whatever you want. And then it'll say, what do you want in this cloud service? And for this demo, I recommend you just add a WCF service to it, a Windows Communication Foundation service to it.
Okay.
And then that'll create this solution within Visual Studio with a couple projects. Mm-hmm. You very easily can go in there. You can define the web service interface you want to use. You know, add a couple methods or whatever. Use the sample that or the template there automatically gives you an interface with some fake members.
Right.
You can just code those up, put some fake data behind them.
Okay.
And then do file new, or I'm sorry, within the solution in Visual Studio, mm-hmm. add a new project.
Okay. So you're adding a project to a solution. Now you have two projects.
So now, and the second project you're adding in that same, you know, file new project.
Right. Same solution.
Menu, you will see Windows Phone application as one of your options.
All right.
Click on that. And that will give you an option of, in this release, two styles of Windows Phone applications you can add.
All right.
One is just a standard Windows Phone application. Mm-hmm. And the second one is a list-based Windows Phone application.
Okay.
Pick whichever one you want.
Sure.
Name it. And then go in and you'll get the visual designer. It'll be very obvious what you're looking at. You're looking at a Windows Phone application. It's black background with white text. Mm-hmm. Drag some UI elements in it. Go to Code Behind and wire it up to that Azure service. The way you do that is within your Windows Phone project, you do add new service reference, point it at your WCF project that's in the Azure project. Once you do that, and I've done this before, it took me 2 minutes from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Hit F5 and with the Windows Phone application as your startup project. The emulator will start. Mm-hmm. It'll load up. It takes the first time you do it maybe 20 seconds for it to start, maybe 30 seconds because it's literally booting the phone.
It's turning a phone on, right? Yeah. I guess it even has a low battery warnings and stuff.
It doesn't anymore. We fix that.
Oh, yeah.
So it starts up.
Yeah.
And then a couple seconds later, that app you just built will show up in the on the app or on the phone in the emulator. Mm-hmm. And you can click on the button you put on there, whatever. And it'll go hit that web service on your local PC.
Oh, okay.
Because that Azure service is actually running
on
the
local.
Right,
your own personal cloud.
It's running your own personal. It's a test cloud that the Azure team built to run on your workstation.
Okay.
And your app will work. And then you can go build it and refine it and do whatever you want the thing to do. Mm-hmm. And then you can go sign up for Azure and take that project and deploy it.
You know, I'm starting to think, I'm thinking about some of the data that I have already and what could I potentially build. I've got this this Nerd Dinner application that we just added OData to, and I want to build a Nerd Dinner Windows Phone application. The data is already there. The service is already there. I bet you I'll probably be able to pull it off, you know, in less than a half an hour from download all the way till the end, if what I'm hearing you say. Now, I see a lot of examples of more advanced things than just putting data in a list, particularly this notion of horizontal scrolling, the idea that there's a view beyond. I actually was looking over a guy, one of the Windows Phone guys, and I noticed that the text for a word, I think it was like movies, but the E was cut off. And I said, oh, you know, you've cut off the word there. And he says, no, that's a visual metaphor. That's a hint indicating that there's more. And then he swiped his finger to the left, and it caused the entire screen to go over. How am I doing that from a developer perspective? Is there a really wide screen there, or am I making panels? How do I make these kind of experiences that seem to go on endlessly?
Yeah, we have a term for those types of experiences within the Windows Phone design system called panoramas.
Okay.
And the idea is that the screen of the phone is a window into a horizontally scrolling canvas. And there's different layers of typography and imagery on that canvas. Mm-hmm. And as you scroll from left to right or right to left by using flicks of a finger, those different layers accelerate at different speeds, which creates this very interesting effect of motion and hints to the user that there's either more or less information to the left or to the right. Mm-hmm. It's called a panorama, and it's one of the key user interface elements that we use within the hubs on Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. In the CTP release of the Windows Phone developer tools, we don't have a full panorama control available for developers. Mm-hmm. Already, though, there's sprung up a couple projects where people have done a good job of simulating what we, you know, what our intent is. Mm-hmm. And it's actually not rocket science to build.
Sure.
Once you have the basics, we will be providing much better support for that in a very prescriptive guidance way.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm kind of hearing underneath what you're saying is that the developer tools want to maintain not just an aesthetic, a Windows Phone aesthetic, but they don't want you to make unattractive, unusable applications. It's almost like they're not constraining you as they are encouraging you to make an app that looks like what they're calling Metro, right?
That's right. Metro is the code name for the Windows Phone design system.
The design system. So this look
right.
is Metro.
That's right.
And the developer tools want to encourage us to use Metro.
They do. But at the same time, we're not preventing developers from being super creative and doing, you know, other things. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to encourage right now is one of the talks that was given here at Mix by people on the Windows Phone team mm-hmm. was the design talk. Mm-hmm. It was the third talk we gave on Monday.
Okay.
And I highly recommend developers go, if you look at any other talk, like my talk was pretty good because I gave it and yeah. it's the overview and so forth and I'm proud of it.
Right.
But the talk that I think is the most interesting and is the most informative about what we really want to accomplish is the design talk. It will help developers understand this design system mm-hmm. and not just, where we're prescriptive and where we're saying this is what we really should do to make it look like the rest of the phone and be beautiful, but also where we really want you to adventure beyond that mm-hmm. and do creative things and how you can find kind of the rails that will let you be successful there.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that really impressed me was when I saw the Netflix application, mm-hmm. it was, I mean, I'm not a designer, but I do know that I like pretty things. And I saw it and I said, wow, this looks like a Windows Phone app and it looks like Netflix. I mean, it was like red.
Right.
It was like red to the core.
Right.
And it was evocative of Netflix and it was evocative. And then what I thought was cool that it switched over into Zune, which had kind of the Zune gray kind of style. And it looked like Zune in my Xbox and it looked like Zune in my PC. But then Netflix was there, which indicated to me, and I'm kind of reading into this, that somehow the Netflix system was able to announce to the phone or connect with the phone and say, hey, I'm involved in media. I'm part of the media hub. Let me be involved as well. And my Zune videos, my podcast, and my Netflix were all in the same place. Is that intentional?
It is. So we have this concept of these integrated experiences on the phone, and mm-hmm. there's five or six or seven of them. I can't remember the exact number. There's the People Hub. There's the Office Hub. There's the Gaming Hub. There is the... I said Office already. There is the Music and Video Hub, mm-hmm. The Marketplace.
Okay.
A couple others. And these each have their own unique way where additional content and assets can be added in by third parties. Mm-hmm. But they are basically extensible so that additional things can happen within them. We also have the ability. So that's one place. And what you saw there was an example of Netflix plugging into the Music and Video hub experience.
Well, it looked a lot like Xbox in the sense that
right.
when I got Netflix on my Xbox, it became part of the video library.
That's right.
It was very
exactly.
integrated.
You've got it now. The other thing that we allow is that a company like Netflix can build an application that is their own hub. And so that's what you saw. You saw effectively the Netflix application was the Netflix hub. And it had its own experience in this horizontal panorama mode. If people are curious what this really looks like, the keynote for Mix is available on demand. Mm-hmm. And all those demos are on that keynote. On the live.visitmix.com
right.
website.
This makes me start thinking about, on some of the existing phones that I use that will go unnamed, I find myself going, I go into the Twitter thing and out of the Twitter thing and into the Facebook thing and out of the Facebook thing. And now I go into the Foursquare thing. And it's like, well, why can't Twitter and Facebook and Foursquare all be part of something that is integrated? It sounds like you're saying that the developer platform will enable this. So even though, like, for example, and again, I'm kind of pimping Nerd Dinner, which is a tiny, tiny, tiny thing, but I could opt in to people. I could, you know, I could somehow be part of one of these hubs if the data presents itself in an appropriate
way. Yeah, and I want to be clear that we don't have, I think you're implying a depth of extensibility that we really don't have in this release. Mm-hmm. We have some examples within the various hubs where this can happen. The one you gave where you could inject additional people information into the people hub.
Well, maybe that's
really
a little extreme, but I guess yeah. the idea is that the notion of being social and getting updates from
that's
all these
right.
different places. Because I remember seeing a demo where we looked at a person and we saw their updates within that person. Is that something that we may be in the future able to opt into?
Yeah, in the future, absolutely. And the way to think about it is what we've done there is all that integration is actually happening as part of Windows Live.
Uh-huh.
The aggregation of the Facebook and Windows Live feed that the phone is representing mm-hmm. is not being done on the phone. It's being done
okay.
as part of the service. And this is really the way apps should be built. The business logic, the stuff that does the heavy lifting should run on the most powerful processor there is, the cloud. And the screen, the device, should use its resources to provide the best possible user experience locally for that.
That makes sense. So if you were going to enable something like, you know, LinkedIn information and all these other different things, that would be something that I would go and sign up for in the cloud, because I understand that all of this is being synchronized.
That's
over
right.
Over the wire.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and chat with me today, and everyone should go to visitmix.com. I guess in a couple of weeks, a couple of days maybe even, we're going to have all these sessions online, all the Windows Phone sessions, as well as lots and lots of information at developer.windowsphone.com.
Yeah, and actually the Mix sessions are already available.
They're already
demand.
Available.
And they get them up there quickly. The other thing, I'm just going to shout out to my blog.
All right.
blogs.msdn.com/ckindle, K-I-N-D-E-L. Mm-hmm. And you can follow me on ckindle on Twitter as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Charlie Kindle, for chatting with me here at Mix. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'll see you again next week.